Blog Talk Radio.
The Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Colossians. Colossians 1.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily.
Praise the Lord, this is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to thank you and welcome you to the program, this episode. But this is Saturday, the 12th of February, and we are live. As always, we say we're live on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., and we encourage you to reach out and connect with us and share your wisdom and insights on our discussions and our topics. Amen? Amen. So first of all, Elder Mark, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir. Good morning, my brother.
Good morning, brother. How are you?
I'm blessed. I apologize for my background.
Don't worry about it. We good. It's going to be all right. We're live. This is live, brother.
Amen.
Yep, there we go. I knew he was going to say something. Get it out early. Amen. Well, brothers, we're going to today we're going to talk about, again, on Saturday morning, what we've been talking about for the last for the month of February. We've been talking about being an encouragement, encouraging others. We've been talking about challenging each other and being challenged. We've been talking about supporting one another and being supported by the brothers around us, and accountability, being accountable and being held and holding another brother accountable. And that's one of the things that we're going to focus on this morning. This morning for this episode. Again, if you got the episode on your phone, if you got through a text or we also invite you to join us on Saturdays. And also, if you got the link on Facebook page, we are live on Saturday mornings. And also, you should have had a couple other episodes we sent out this month talking about these topics with different brothers and different elders to share the wisdom and insight to encourage us in this walk in Christ and who we are as men of God. So today, like I said, we're going to be talking about accountability. Elder, can you open us up in prayer?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. To God be the glory.
All right.
Father God, we just come before you, Lord God, to just say hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, 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 Lord God. We just humbly, Lord God, bowing before your throne of grace, Lord God, as we reverence you as our King, Lord God, our Creator, as our Savior, Lord God. You are God and God alone, Lord God. You are Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, Lord God. And we are truly thankful, Father God, for each and every opportunity that we have to come before you, Lord God, to encounter you, Lord God, to worship you, to praise you, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord God, for this another opportunity, Lord God, to join together, Lord God, to give you the praise that you truly, truly deserve, for you are God and God alone. Father, we thank you that as we grow each and every day, Lord God, we are blessed, Lord God, with brothers around us, Lord God. We are blessed with family, Lord God, blessed with saints around us, Lord God, that would encourage us, Lord God, that would keep us in a place, Lord God, that would encourage us, empower us, uplift us, Lord God, when we didn't have the power or strength to do it in our own, Lord God. Someone that could pray for us, Lord God, when we didn't have the words, Lord God, to lift in our own weakness, Lord God. So we just thank you, Father God. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord God, to join together, Lord God, for your word says where two or more gather, you are in the midst, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord God, that we can celebrate as we join together, even on this line today, Lord God. We know that you are in the midst, Lord God, that someone, Lord God, by a word shared, Lord God, someone's heart would be changed, Lord God, a mind would be changed, Lord God, direction would be given, Lord God, that would allow us as men, Lord God, to open up, Lord God, and have a better understanding of the call upon our lives, Lord God, that we don't live the way the world tells us we should, Lord God, but we, Lord God, truly live to exude the very fruit of the Spirit, Lord God, that we do everything, Lord God, that you have called, Lord God. Father, we first want to ask for your forgiveness, Lord God, for the sins of commission, Lord God, the sins of omission, Lord God, the things that we have knowingly done and unknowingly done by thought, word, and or deed, Lord God. And as you forgive us, Lord God, we ask that you continue to empower us and remove anything within us that is not in line with you. Continue to pour out Holy Spirit beyond that of overflow, Lord God, so that we will be filled with you. Each and every void, Lord God, is filled with your word, filled with your grace, filled with your power, Lord God. So we say thank you, God, for truly there is none like you. We thank you, Lord God, that as you guide us, Lord God, we can rest assured, Father God, that you are taking us, Lord God, no matter what the trials, no matter what the tribulations, Lord God, no matter what the journey, Lord God, you, Lord God, are working all things out for our good, Lord God, and all things are working, Lord God, meaning that in the midst, Lord God, you are still moving, Lord God, that this is something that's going on right now. Your touch upon our lives is happening right now. Even when we don't feel it, Lord God, we know that you are working. So we say thank you, O Father. Thank you, awesome and precious Father, for all that you have done, are doing, and will continue to do in our lives as we give you the praise, glory, and honor that you truly deserve. And we stand together to lift a hallelujah praise unto you and pray to the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Well, brothers, we're going to talk a little bit today. We're going to go right into our topic this morning. I see we had a couple of brothers called on the line that are live here on a Saturday morning. If you'd like to join the conversation and be part of it, just press one on your keypad. We'll recognize you on the keyboard. On the switchboard. We'll bring you into the conversation. But, Elder Mark, we're going to kick off here before we go to the brothers. We're going to talk about accountability because that's one of the things that we talk about. We're going to reach into that accountability. We're here at the middle, the 12th, so we're here a couple weeks into the month of February, and we talked about a lot of them. But I want to go – I want to work backwards today because I want to talk about accountability. And what the Bible says, the importance of accountability. because we know that there's a lot of temptation in the world today, and Satan is always striving to create even more temptation. God, remember, Satan is the enemy of the God body of Christ. He's the enemy of God. But understand that God and Christ, Satan is defeated. But until Christ comes back to claim this earth, when he comes back, Satan is the prince of the air, the power of this world. And he's trying to get as many human souls as possible into hell with him. He knows his punishment. He knows his destiny. But us as Christians and as human, and also us as humans, our destiny and what God's plan is for us to be with him and reign with him in heaven. But Satan, in this temporal realm, again, is trying to tempt us, trying to get us to be out of character, to abandon God, to reject God, to reject Christ, his Savior, his Messiah, his sacrifice for our sins, because he's paid the price. So in the face of that temptation, many Christians, we should be seeking out accountability partners to keep us on track. And that's the thing I think we struggle with in the body of Christ for believers, confessed believers. We struggle with connecting one to another to help encourage, edify, and strengthen one another and to bear the burdens of one another. And I think that's something we have to really, especially as men, because again, as the men go is the way the church goes. And we have to be able to see what the Bible says about accountability, the examples it gives, and the instruction that Paul gives us. Because we know also it in 2 Samuel 11. What? Hold on, girl. I got mother grandchild here, too. Now they won't talk to me. Amen. Amen. But we know in 2 Samuel chapter 11, we talk about David and Bathsheba, and Nathan had to pull him up or the sins once he found out what the sins were. Elder, what do you say, sir? We start there. We're going to start with David and work our way through the New Testament. We're going to use the famous example of accountability, David and Nathan. What do you say? Nathan, amen. What do you say, sir?
Well, just to even build on accountability, and I thank you for jumping into the scripture and going into David. And if I may, before even going there, I'd like to speak on myself and be transparent. And want to first off thank you as my accountability partner. We've been on this walk together for quite some years now, and it's been a blessing to have a person so empowered as you to be someone that I can depend on. And, you know, the world teaches us men that we're not supposed to share, we're not supposed to talk, we're not supposed to let people know our insecurities or our issues. But those are the very things that when we have a true accountability partner, it's not about someone who's going to tell you everything that you've done wrong, but also tell you that will also give you the opportunity to share and to reach out when you don't understand what to do. Because sometimes our decisions that we make aren't because we are going in the wrong direction, but simply because we don't understand what's going on in our own life, and the enemy will keep us in a place. That is Satan's desire, to keep us in a place out of the will of God. And the best way to do is to put all these temptations around us. Come on, grandson, I'll get right back to you. to keep us in a place that we aren't willing to share who we are and what we're going through. I myself was caught in that place here recently. I had been going through some depression because of health issues, and even with you as my accountability partner, it was things that I masked because, you know, we are as in ministry with a title. The expectancy is that we should be able to get everything together. We should be able to talk to God. We shouldn't have the issues because we're the ones that others depend on. So we shouldn't have issues. And that too was a trick of the enemy, that because we have a title, because we have a position, that we're not supposed to need help, that we're not supposed to reach out, that we're not supposed to be in a place that we don't understand everything. We're in a place, sometimes we're tricked to believe that we have to be our own savior in our life. But having an accountability partner helps us to realize that our life, our issues, aren't what define us. They aren't what make us, and they don't stop God's desire for our life. It doesn't stop God's mission for our life. What the enemy does is try to slow that place and get you in a place to doubt all the promises God has for you, and thus get you out of the place believing that God can move in your life, or that God, or that you don't have the strength to move through, or that you have the strength by yourself to move through. And forgive me, I'm a little out of sorts because I'm trying to deal with my grandson here. But I just wanted to truly first say thank you for that, for just being that for me, allowing me to see that I could depend on somebody else, that I could reach out to a fellow brother, and I could be in that place of a vulnerable place to say, my brother, I'm just weak. I'm not sure. I don't understand. Things are just taking me every which way. The healing that I thought I would see, I don't. The things that I don't understand, I'm leaving me with questions, and those questions are putting me in a place of anxiety and depression, and even took me to a place of addiction to mask the very issues that I was dealing with, trying to cover up things and trying to just be to look like I had everything together when we don't have to. That's the purpose of an accountability partner. That we can stand in our weakened state, and someone can walk alongside us to strengthen us, to encourage us, because God gives us that person. God gives us those people, but we have to open our eyes and recognize that that person is truly there to help, truly there to be a guide, truly there to just be a shoulder to lean upon, and that as men, we can lean upon somebody else. We can lean upon the body of Christ to build us up, and that in that, we can not only be held accountable, but we can also be the accountability for someone else, even in our weakened state, because it's amazing to me that even in the midst of my own issues, you still looked at me as an accountability partner, someone that you could call and say, hey, bro, I'm going through. And even when I was going through, I could still be that for you, and it just empowered me. So I just wanted to say thank you before we went any further. I just wanted to say thank you. But when we speak of David, the sins that we commit, that he committed, he had to be chastised. He had to be challenged to say, bro, you're not living right. This isn't right. There's changes. This isn't the will of God for you. This isn't what God has. A true accountability partner is one that no matter what you're going through, can be honest and open with you and tell you, hey, bro, something's not right. You need to change. You need to do this different. And it's not a challenge to correct you or to belittle you, but to empower you to say that, hey, there's strength in you to get past this situation, that you can make a different and better choice. So I just say, as we speak of an accountability partner, as we speak about accountability, we have to recognize that those around us are the very ones that can help us to reach a better place, to reach a better understanding and walk in what God has for us, rather than turning away, rather than sheltering ourselves, rather than falling back or even falling into the deeper temptations that the world, that the enemy has for us, because someone's there to challenge and say that this is what God has for you. Remember who you are and be strengthened in who you are. And that's what David needed, to be strengthened, to be held accountable. And that, I believe, is what it means to truly be an accountability partner, to truly hold someone accountable, is not to hurt someone or not to break them down, but to help build them back up. And I apologize, but back to you, sir.
Amen, 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 bro. I agree. Hold on. Grandson be all right. But, you know, you're right. And that's some of the things we have to acknowledge. We have to know that we're in a battle. We're in battle against Satan in darkness. It's not that we are saved and we're not going to be challenged. That's the whole thing about what the enemy does to us. And like you were saying, a lot of the things we struggle with who we are and our titles and those things in that pride that keeps us from reaching out. Because that was David's problem. He was the king. And, you know, there's a lot of people who knew what was going on but didn't want to approach him. But when we truly have an accountability partner and people in our life, you know, we should want help. We should want to gather people to gather around us, to support us, to pray for us. Why would we want to be out here alone? And again, this is what the body of Christ is all about. We're not individuals. You know, we talked about long-range of Christians and being out there. This is not why Christ died for his church. This is not why he sent the Holy Spirit, that we are connected through the Spirit to be hold each other accountable, to protect one another. That's what I always say about brothers, that we have to read the Scripture, understand what's going on in Scripture, especially in the New Testament, because I want to go to Peter, because Peter was writing to a church. First and Second Peter, the book he wrote, he was writing to a persecuted church that he had to encourage in the midst of real persecution. Not people talking about you. Not people call you a Christian boy. Not people call you or a church boy or whatever. These are about real persecution, and Peter was writing letters to encourage them in their faith. Because there was a lot going on. And then now us, we have to understand, why would we not want to be around people who believe what we believe and have the same mindset and know and true as a true Christian, as a true believer walking out this Christian walk, knows their struggles and know that we all struggle. It may not be the same struggle, but there is a struggle. Because, again, Satan is trying to break us down. I mean, he uses all these things. Now, you, brother, you talked about depression, and those, all this is what's going on right now in the body of Christ. When people who are trying to live according to God's will, because they're dealing with these things. And so why would we not want to be in the company and have people around us? And know that without a doubt, we have to understand. That's the first thing I think we really have to understand is the body of Christ. Even when people get saved, we don't tell them the other part. We tell them the good part. You're saved and God loves you, and some people still tell them, folk, their life is going to get better. Your life may not get better, but to know that salvation of your soul is secured and that you have the power of the Holy Spirit living within you, you're still going to have challenges. Temptations and trials are coming, and this is why we need one another. The Bible speaks of one another, and as we continue to walk this walk, because, again, Satan is our enemy. We need to understand that and know that he knows our weaknesses. He knows our vulnerabilities, because we have people in the flesh who know our weaknesses and our vulnerabilities, and some of those people is in our family. But that's a whole other show. But I want to encourage the brothers out there. There's a time where we know that we have to be able to, because the enemy will use anything. He can use a married couple fighting. He can use your kids, you know, rebelling against you, being spiteful. We know some kids can get us and get on our nerves and push us over. But understand, these are all the things that's testing our faith. So how will we respond as men of God, as fathers, as godly fathers, as godly husbands, in the midst of what life has taken us? That's the thing that I want to get across to the brothers, that life is coming at you. As a Christian, as a man of God, we're going to handle it different than we would have living in our flesh and living with a sinful mind. That's what the body of Christ, that's what Christianity is about. That's what living different is about, having a renewed mind. And we have to want to be around people who's going to watch out for us, cover us, and lift us up and encourage us, even when we fall. You know, because even when we talk about David, you know, he already knew. The baby was born. All these things happened to David. If you know the story, again, take you to 2 Samuel. If you know the story, a lot of things happened. Even the baby he had with his mistress died. But I'm not going to, the rest of the story is he stayed with her and they had another child, but that's a whole other discussion too. However, you know, it's the sin that someone had to be able to pull him up. And who pulls you up? You know what I'm saying? So, again, I want to encourage, you know, brothers, continue to press in into that thing. Hey, amen. I got one call I'm going to bring on real quick, and the Elder, I'm going to come back to you. Hey, amen. Your last four numbers are 7712. Praise the Lord. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Hello? How you doing?
Good. Who's this?
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
This is Joshua from East Central Illinois.
Hey, amen. You want to say something, share, have a question?
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, I wanted to tap into a couple of things you guys were saying. The thing about the Christian man, I think this is kind of misconstrued. Because everybody these days keeps painting Jesus as like this kind of hippie, do you understand what I mean? So like when he went at those money changers in the temple with that bullwhip, yeah. Do you know what I mean? So the Christian man is not a weak man. It's a strong man that chooses to use his ability to wreak havoc to do good. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. That's who we call to be, because we are called. We call, as Christian men, we're called to be leaders in the home, in the church, and community, and to stand for righteousness. I agree. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That's all it is. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, the other thing that was kind of disconcerting there, we have a problem when we're dealing with stuff in America. I'm assuming that's where everyone's calling from. We have a problem in America where people that are, you know, everyone's calling themselves Christians in all these different places, but they actually they don't practice the faith at all. And I'm not too concerned about all that, you know. I'm more concerned that a bunch of people who are terrible are claiming to be Christian and a bunch of atheists who are just minding their own business. It's a strange dichotomy that we have here in America now, where people claim to be something and they end up disrupting the exact thing, what they're claiming to be. Does that make sense to you, sir?
Well, bro, you know, the Bible said there's going to be wheat and tare. There's going to be false teachers. But that's the thing we have to be as Christian men and anybody, the church in general. There's going to be those amongst. Remember, Jesus had Judas. He was with him for 3 years until he showed his true colors. So that's nothing new. And you're right. And
oh,
in this culture.
I just had this. A good tree, properly fruited tree, a good tree can produce bad fruit, but a bad tree can never produce good fruit. Okay, I'm sorry, sir. No, that just hit me. Thank you, sir.
Amen, amen. Well, like I was saying, you know, but that's what we have to be, discernment. Because, again, you know, this life that we live in, it's no different than the life we lived before we were saved. We were hanging around people, you'd be surprised, the people you grew up with, the people we live next door to, what they're into, you know, because we don't know the hearts of men. But what we can do is we can show love one to another, and like I said, when we talk about accountability is, if a brother says he's something, I want to hold him accountable to the Word of God. That's the best I can do. Because he can choose to walk away, he can choose to live a disobedient life, but if God wants to use me to correct him, or encourage him, or to strengthen him, because, you know, everybody's faith is not as strong as everybody else's faith. But if I'm doing what God has called us to do as the body of Christ, to encourage one another, then every man's going to stand before God anyway. Every man's going to stand before Christ alone. So how they live this life on this earth, we have to get to the place. I understand what you're saying, but we have to get to the place where that doesn't stop us from who we are in our relationship, and then doing what Christ did. Because remember, Christ died for the sinner. Christ died. He didn't die for the righteous. He died for the sinner, that the sinner might be reconciled back to God. So bro, I'll tell you this. Don't let what you see other Christians do affect your faith and your relationship with God and your growth in Christ. You see what I'm saying? Well, you could just pray
sir.
For them.
No,
you could be pray for them and then be able to, and then when opportunity gives, depending on your relationship with that individual person, you can hold them accountable. But I've learned over my Christian walk not to get distracted by the actions of others and saying what they're doing, you know, because if we do that, we'll watch TV and the news and get reports of these pastors doing all kinds of things, or people who claim to be Christ and they're caught up in all kinds of crazy. Because I give my best example of that is, I want to say is that, you know, remember, Black Lives Matter, all them churches and Christians and pastors who was out there wearing them T-shirts, I wonder where they are now after all this revelation came out about Black Lives Matter. That's just one example.
Uh-huh.
Because we don't have discernment and wisdom and represent God first, we get caught up in other things. Amen?
You know what used to actually mean something, how the church was not – they weren't participating in anything political, any social movements in any country. We literally have a country of Sweden. I'm sorry, Switzerland. Switzerland exists, and the only reason nobody touches them is because they're the bank and the guard for Vatican City. Nobody touches them at all. Hitler wouldn't even touch them.
Well, there you are. Bro, you're absolutely right. They have Swedish guards in the Vatican, but that's why they're neutral. They've been neutral since World War One. But
I'm
that's here, a whole other thing.
I'm
influence. Yeah, I agree, bro. You know, but again, these things of the world, these are the things of the world. This is things of the enemy. These are the things that we have to, as believers, as true believers, we can't be distracted by. Because, again, Satan is the prince of the air, the power of this earth. We're not citizens of this, but we endure here. We're salt and light, and we have to continue, again, to grow in the faith, fulfill the Great Commission, and be the men of God called us to be, because even in the midst of all that, it all starts in our homes, our marriages, our children, and our community, and our church. And that's where we have to be the strongest and the best representation. Amen? Elder Mark, are you back? What do you think, sir?
I'm still with you. I apologize for the background. But, yes, I do agree. I think, and to the gentleman speaking, I agree. I do agree with you. And I think sometimes we, as Deacon Farr, we're quite distracted. We are quite distracted with other issues that take us away from our call. When we start to think about the ways of the world, we're not, as Deacon Farr said, we're not of this world. We are called to be rebels to this world. What used to be what we represented has become so distorted, it has become so perverted by the enemy, the enemy's attack, the continual bombardment that tears down what we're supposed to stand as and how we're supposed to act and walk and how we're supposed to interact. And I do agree with you, sir. I do definitely agree with you. But as it comes to the accountability, I must say I agree with you, Geek. It's just we have to recognize that accountability is the means in which we can uphold each other in this Christian walk. I pray that no one thinks that when you say an accountability, it's someone who's supposed to chastise you or condemn you. Condemnation is not ours to give. That is not in our power. That's nothing that's a part of our existence or our call. We are supposed to help another brother to stay on the correct path and pray that in that saying we are not so we're not in a place that we don't accept that saying from another person, that we are so caught up in where we are that we feel we've got it all together, that we don't need someone else to help us to just stay on. Because as temptations come, the enemy knows us best. The enemy knows everything about us that can be used to take us out of the will of God, because that is his mission. Like, he studies our mistakes, so he knows how to manipulate us in the next battle. He studies where we fell short, what we did and what we didn't do in the call. And that is the purpose of an accountability partner, because sometimes we don't recognize those things. And I bless God. Like I said, I thank for having Deacon Favre, because it's someone I depend on that I can trust is going to tell me, hey, bro, you think of it from this perspective, or try it this way, or look at it like this. Giving me someone who I can talk to, giving me the availability, and that's who God places in our lives. So these are our accountability partners, are not to, as I say, continue. I just hope I'm truly expressing this correct way, that no one thinks having an accountability is about asking someone to condemn you when you mess up. It's not. It's asking someone to empower you to do the right thing when you don't understand the things going on around you, when you need someone to help you to get a better perspective, a new look, a new outlook. We're asking God for that all the time, and God gives us that in these accountability partners. So I think it's empowering to have someone that you can lean upon and call an accountability partner, because those are people that are like-minded Christians, like-minded people on this walk. But we all fall short each and every day because we are of flesh. So we do need that. We need someone who is spiritually grounded around us to help us remind, because when temptations come, when the flesh overwhelms, we may not be standing spiritually strong enough to recognize everything going on, but someone else around us can see something in our life that we may not see, that we may not understand, and help us to get back to a correct place, help us to look at it from a different understanding, a different perspective. And I just think that's the most empowering thing. I'm just so appreciative that God gives us those, that God gives us a fellow brother. God gives us, and sometimes it could be your wife, whoever it is, whoever that person is, I pray that we all find that person, because when you find that person, it is empowering to know that that person exists and lives as a part of your daily life, that is a person you can reach out to and depend upon. That person is not there to fix your life, but to assist your life. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen, brother. You know, you're right. And that's the things we have to know as again, as believers, as men of God. And again, as a body of Christ, you know, we're interconnected. We should be interconnected. We have a duty to each other to build each other up. You know, and the Bible speaks of this. I mean, the book of James, I think it's James chapter 5. And it says, you know, accountability is confessing our sins one to another and praying for each other so that we may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You know, accountability can be helpful in the battle to overcome sin. But this is with a new believer, a person coming right into the church. Remember, I want every brother who's listening, remember when you first came to Christ and the knowledge of him and the struggles you had with the purging and the pruning of your life with the things that were unpleased, that were not pleasing to God. They're called sin. I know a lot of churches don't talk about it no more. They want to call it sin, but it was sin that was the things that you were doing that you saw as normal and regular. You needed someone to come around to encourage you, rebuke you, teach you, and rejoice with you and weep with you in the midst of your growing. In the midst of your going deeper in God, in your midst of desiring to be and created in the image, in the renewing of your mind. But in the midst of that, who came alongside you? And now who are you coming alongside in that same process where people are coming to Christ and we're not connecting with them? We're not helping them in the transformation of what God is doing in their life. We're not celebrating the things they're doing that God is doing in their life. Because we ought to. That's when we're talking about accountability. I want to say it again. Accountability is to encourage, to rebuke, to teach, to rejoice with, and to weep with. Every Christian should have someone in their life, another Christian, that who's doing that for them. Otherwise, you are a bait. It's a setup. Satan is like a roaring lion. He's waiting to devour you. You know, and, you know, he's just waiting. He's waiting for you to get alone. You know, he's waiting for you to be out there where you can't tell nobody. You got secrets. You got things you don't want to tell folk. You care about what people think about you instead of how they want to help you. You think nobody can help you. You think nobody's going through what you're going through. These are the enemies and the tools that Satan uses to try and destroy us. And by destroying the husband and the father, he destroys families. And then when he destroys families, he's destroying the church of Jesus Christ. And we have to get to the place where we understand that, and we know what our responsibilities are. Getting saved is just not saying the sinner's prayer and walking out the door and shaking the pastor's hand, and you save for eternity. There's a call on every life. There's a purpose for every man. There's a purpose for every soul. And as men of God, we have to first understand, believe that, and then, again, teach it to our wives, encourage our wives, teach it to our children, and then stand by the body of Christ and encourage one another, that we will stand until Christ comes back. Amen? Amen. Then you listen to Deacon. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr and Elder Mark, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. Elder, I'm going to come to you, brother. You're going to get the closing comments, closing thoughts, and then close out in prayer. And then I appreciate you, bro, because we both on grandfather duty, so I just wanted to get this word in on Saturday morning and encourage the brothers, but I'm going to give you the last closing words. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that, sir. I appreciate you. And once again, I appreciate you as my accountability partner. And to everyone listening, once again, as Deacon Farr said, and I pray that I expressed, this is not about somebody who's going to condemn you, but rebuke the bad behaviors and let you know that there are ways to do things different. That to challenge that the very things that you're doing out of the will of God, to challenge the very things that you are dealing with. Myself, Deacon Farr was there to help me through depression because I've been dealing with health issues for well over 20 years. I just, God, where is my healing? God, where is my healing? And it began to put me in a place of just anxiety and depression, but having an accountability partner, just someone that could take me into the word, that could guide me when I just didn't feel empowered. And that's what it's about, being that person, a dependable, an accountability partner is someone that you can depend on to help you in your walk, someone that you can call to help you in your walk, someone that you can discuss and just get perspective and understanding from. We all need a person. We all need someone that you can just converse with, that allow you to just open your heart and let go of some things, because another perspective may be all you need to see something different and see that God is moving. Because sometimes what the enemy does is put us in a place that we feel like God isn't moving on our situation because we've been caught in it for so long, because we've been praying and we don't see the answers. So sometimes we back away. We fall short. And this is for even those in ministry. This is for the seasoned Christian, and this is for the new Christian or for the unchurched. We need someone around us that will help us to better understand our own situation, and that comes from a person who is spiritually grounded, a person who is in the Word, and that can walk with you. Because it may be a day that Deke is in an issue, and I'll be able to walk with him and help him and to carry him through just as he has done for me. And I pray that you're able to find that person and lean upon that person and depend upon that person, because that is truly a blessing. Father God, we honor you and bless you, Lord God. We just truly thank you for another opportunity to encounter you, Lord God, for your word says, where two or more gathered, you are in the midst. So we thank you that you're in the midst of this conversation today, that it would empower someone to think about life different, Lord God, to reach out, Lord God, to find someone in their life to help them to stand in a place of accountability, to stand in a place of vulnerability and sensitivity to your word and to who you are, even when we don't see you moving on our behalf, as our situations, as temptations have taken us out of where we have stood and where we have been confident, Lord God. So I just thank you for the accountability partner, Lord God. I thank you for the direction. I thank you for the grace, Lord God. We thank you for your mercy. Lord God, we just thank you for your love that truly shows your agape love, that you would provide us with someone close that could be that accountability partner, that could be the person that we can depend upon. So, Lord God, we say thank you. Father, we just thank you that you'll continue to pour into us, Lord God, in all understanding, Lord God, that as we learn, as we desire to go deeper in you and learn more of you, we'll learn more of ourselves, more of the call upon our lives, and more of what you provide each and every day, Lord God, as you continue to bless us in the abundance that is you and you alone. So, Father, we say thank you. We thank you for revelation, Lord God, that you are always moving, even when we don't understand or see it, Lord God. So we thank you. You are the miracle worker. We thank you for your provision, Lord God. We honor you and we bless you, and we pray to the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.